Bring the tomato juice over here, will you, Joe?
Don't mind if I kibitz. I was reading up on chess. The Arabs invented it, and I'm not surprised, because nobody can sit like an Arab. The classical Arab chess game was simply a sitting contest. When both contestants starved to death, it was considered a stalemate. During the Baroque period of chess, the practice of harrying your opponent with some annoying mannerism came into general use. Some players used dental floss. Others cracked their joints or blew saliva bubbles. The method was constantly developed. In the 1917 match at Baghdad, the Arab arachnid Khayyam defeated the German master Kurt Schlemiel by humming, "I'll be around when you're gone," 40,000 times, and each time reaching his hand toward the board as if he intended to make a move. Did you ever have the good fortune to see the Italian master Tetrazzini perform? Oh, he had a corps of trained idiots who would rush in at a given signal and eat all the pieces. With defeat staring him in the face, he would leap up yelling, "You cheap bastard! I saw you palm that queen and ram a broken teacup into his opponent's face!"
I have to get a haircut and go to work.
I saw Tetrazzini was in the upper Yabangi. I was working as aide-de-camp under General Von Clutch. A hard man to satisfy, I gave up trying after the first week and hit the trail with Abdul, the local Adonis. 10 miles out of Tanharaho, Abdul came down with the rinderpest, and I had to leave him there to die. Hated to do it, but there was no other way. Lost his looks completely, you understand. At the headwaters of the Zambezi, I ran into an old Dutch trader, and after considerable haggling, I gave him half a keg of Paragord for a boy. Half Effendi and half Lulu. But the Lulu Effendi was showing signs of wear even before I hit Timbuktu, and I decided to trade him in on a straight Bedouin model. Oh yes, the crossbreeds make a good appearance, but they don't hold up. In Timbuktu, I went to Cornhole Gus's used slave lot to see what he could give me for a trade-in. Gus rushes out, and he goes into the spiel. "Oh, Sahibli, Allah has sent you. I have something right up your ass. Oh, Anin Ali just came in. One owner, and he was a doctor. A once-over lightly, twice-a-week type citizen. It's young and tender. Behold." "Look, Gussie, you're dealing with the oldest faggot in the upper Yabangi, so come on the peg. Reach down into your grease pit and dredge out the best-looking you got in this moth-eaten bazaar."
"All right, Sahib Lee, you want quality, right? Well, follow me, please." "Here it is. Now, what can I say? Quality speaks for itself. Now I get a lot of cheap-type customers in here, and they want to see quality, and they scream when they see the price. But you know, and I know, that quality runs high. And as a matter of fact, and I swear this by the Prophet's brick, I lose money on this quality merchandise."
"Uh-huh. He's got some hidden miles on him, but he'll do. How about a trail run?"
"Holy, for Christ's sake, I don't run a house. No consumption on premises. I could lose my license."
"Okay, now what can you give me on the Lulu Effendi? Perfect condition, just overhauled, and he don't eat much, and he don't say nothing. Jesus me, you know I'd cut off my right nut for you, but I swear by my mother's cunt, may I fall down and be paralyzed and my brick fall off if these mixed jobs ain't harder to move than some junkie's bowels. Well, what am I gonna do with it? Peddle it on the public street? You might take it along as a spare. Ha!
What can you give me for the boy? Well, now don't get mad. The 200 piastres. Gus makes a skittish little move as if to escape my anger, then throws up a huge cloud of dust in the corner.